It's called Christians use some discernment and discretion. You know, judge something, will you? I mean, judge something. It appears to me Christians today, or those that are professing to be Christians, they have no discernment or discretion in what they do. I've seen it with the way children are raised and what they expose their children to, just in their decision-making process and how they make decisions or whatever. It amazes me how blind people are. Either they are stepped out of reality completely, or just plain deceived. I don't know which. I know that there's a spirit of strong delusion that is coming, and that we're seeing the foreshadowings of that right now. I mean, we see it when we're out on the street and everything. You expect it from lost people, but you don't expect it from saved people. You know, you don't expect that delusion from saved people, or that lack of discernment. It's like no spiritual discernment at all to see some of these things. Malachi 3:18, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. Now, I this is a fascinating verse, really, because we are told that, well, there's no way for you to discern whether someone's saved or lost. We're going to see if that's true or not. Now, nobody's saying that we know absolutely, but I'll tell you one thing right now. I'm sure not going to comfort somebody into hell. Do you understand me? I'm sure not going to comfort you into hell. I'm sure not going to give you some false, well, you're living like the devil, but hey, you prayed a prayer a long time ago, so you'll be all right. Does it ever baffle you that some of these people are not concerned that there's no working of the Holy Ghost of God in their life? Does that not scare you half to death? Because it should. It should scare you when a man professes Christ, but there is no working of the Spirit in their life. No conviction. They don't even believe in conviction. I had one guy tell me yesterday, and I've been friends with him for 6 years. He told me, you know, I the King James Bible doesn't say the Holy Ghost convicts people. I just sat there and he says, well, the Holy Spirit says he will reprove the works of darkness and everything. Well, study out what reprove means then. Study out what these things mean. When I hear things like that, I'm like, do these people even know what biblical salvation is? Do they even understand what it is? How come we see more of a defense today of sin than we do of righteousness? Why do we see such a bold stand for sin? Sin, them committing sin is their defense that they are saved. Do you understand how backwards and like Aleister Crowley wicked that is? It is like backwards of real salvation. It is absolutely opposite. I mean, I've never heard a bigger bunch of witchcraft in my life. Bewitching speech from these people. It's insane. It's insanity. It doesn't even make sense. And it'd be different if it was isolated and all I heard was from a few people online. But that spirit is everywhere. I see it everywhere. He says here, then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. Look at this. Between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Well, that's a pretty loaded verse right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, are you telling me that the righteous serve God and the wicked don't? Well, I didn't tell you that. He said that.
Pretty much.
That's the way it goes. Yeah, you can't serve two masters, that's right. Unless you're in modern day Laodicea, pop culture Christianity, then you can do whatever you want and just claim to be saved and you are. Isn't that great? You just claim to be saved and you are. That's all you have to do is name the name of Christ. You don't have to depart from iniquity, though. You just name the name of Christ. Why is this so prevalent today? Because there's no discernment among Christians. They have fallen into the trap of the world's judge not mentality. Right. Because their preachers are dumb dogs that cannot bark. And they've been lulled to sleep. What does that word discern mean? Well, I'll give you Webster's, and that's not the inspired word of God, because I'll give you the inspired word of God, because that's the one that matters. But just by way of explanation, discern. The act of discerning. Also the power or faculty of the mind by which it distinguishes one thing from another, as truth from falsehood, virtue from vice, acuteness of judgment, power of perceiving differences of things or ideas, and their relations and tendencies. The errors of youth often proceed from want of discernment. We're going to talk about that. Because for some reason, most parents, they believe that kids are like chia kids, like chia pets. Remember that? Chia. Remember that? Remember that, don't you? You just put a few drops of water on them, watch them grow. You don't have to do anything with them. You don't have to raise them. You just sprinkle them with a little bit of water and they just grow, and then you feed them, and that's all you do. And they just grow automatically, and they grow with discernment. You know, I get that because people are surprised when a kid sins. I mean, really? You're shocked by that? Oh, I can't believe my kid just said that. Really? Because I can. They're little lost people. What do you mean? They're children with no discernment. And foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, and the rod of correction driveth it far from him. That's why, and by the way, that rod of correction is more than just a spanking or something. It's the word of God. There's more to it than just spanking and all that and biblical discipline. That's the word of God also. Some of you think you can use one and not the other, and the children is going to grow. No, that rod of correction is right here. This is the rod that God uses to correct. And if this is more important than that, we do that because we follow this. Does that make sense? Discretion is prudence or knowledge and prudence, that discernment which enables a person to judge critically. Wow, have we ever lost that today? It's so sad. Christians fall for that judge not mentality too. Oh no, you're not allowed to judge whether you believe somebody said, really? We're going to see if God says if you're allowed or not to judge whether someone is saved or not, whether you want them in your company, whether you believe that they are a child of God, and whether you're supposed to be around them or not. We're going to look at the Bible and see what it says about that. Because God has called his people to be discerning and to teach discretion. And to practice discretion. But it seems today that Christians have no discernment. In 2 Samuel 14, verse number 17, then thine handmaid said, the word of my Lord the king shall now be comfortable, for an angel of God, so is my Lord the king, to discern good and bad. Therefore the Lord thy God will be with thee. Tell me, why can't... Oh, the first thing that we are supposed to discern is between the good and the bad. We're to judge between the good and the bad. We're to make a discernment. Everywhere in the Bible you see that. The Bible will talk about discerning good from bad. And as you grow in the Lord, you will see that your discernment will grow stronger. You will be able to discern some things that you could not before because you walk closer to God. Now, you will be called hypercritical or judgmental. And listen, there are people that are hypercritical. I believe that. What they're hypercritical, they go into the character of a person, or they look at, they try to find some fault in them. It has nothing to do with doctrine or practice of living, but just a fault that they might have or something they don't do. And they use that to pick at somebody. Right. That's being hypercritical. But judging right, judgment and doctrine and practice, that's not being hypercritical. It's very important. In fact, it's a very important part of our of being a Christian. Who do you think people are going to come to for help and understanding of things? What did he say in 1 Corinthians chapter 6? Can't you judge between one another? Can't you make a judgment call at all? Or is there not a wise man among you that can discern? Is there not a wise man among you that can judge these matters? Good question, Paul. Good question. 1 Kings 3:9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people. This is what Solomon asked for, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great of people? You need to judge between good and bad. There's a discernment there. You ought to be able to discern between good and bad. Right and wrong. Good and evil. Between the servants of the Lord and the servants of the world. We're going to see, though, if that's true, if God expects that from us. Proverbs chapter 7, verse number 7. It's interesting here. And beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. You ever seen that before? There was a discernment here among the youths, void of understanding. They couldn't get it. They were foolish. Very foolish. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. What is this? We've preached on this. This is the young, simple fool that follows this strange woman who has no discernment. Wait a minute. Are you saying that you're supposed to teach your young man discernment not to follow a strange woman? But I thought we couldn't discern between a righteous woman and a strange woman. That's what that means, strange or queer to your God, a strange woman. That's like the Roman Catholic Church is the same thing as that strange woman. She is that strange bride. She is the bride of the Antichrist. She is the bride of Satan. She is queer unto the Lord.
Amen.
So what do we see? We see God says that that young man could not discern. Now, why couldn't that young, simple fool discern? Wouldn't that mean that his parents didn't teach him to discern? Oh, you just can't know. Well, what if the strange woman professes to be a Christian? Well, let me ask you something, friend. Would you let your son or your daughter, court someone who claimed to be a Christian, but to every good work they were reprobate? Am I supposed to believe that that person is saved? Am I supposed to believe that that person is a child of God when they follow the works of the devil and they are a strange woman? Yeah, because they said they were saved. Oh, okay. See, how come I'm not afraid to look at them and say, well, see, I think you're lost. Yeah, Alice Cooper is a strange woman. We'll talk about it in a second. That's really funny. Anyway. He said he beheld thee. What happened to this young man? Well, he didn't learn any discernment. Did you know there's more to being a Christian than just saying you're one? Did you know that? There actually is the abiding Spirit of God inside of that person, leading them and guiding them and teaching them and growing them in the faith. As you add to things, did you know there's more to that? Well, what's this? This straight, she is loud. She is stubborn. Her feet bide not in her house. This is describing the strange woman. That this young man, this simple one, had no discernment. Did you know that young people don't have a lot of discernment and you have to teach it to them? Did you know that you have to teach your sons and your daughters the difference? You have to teach them more than just, well, if they say they're saved, and if they're, you have to teach them more than that. You have to teach them that they're, I've heard, oh, you call it, it's fruit inspecting, and yeah, I really don't care what you call it, okay? You can call it whatever you want. You can call it fruit stand salvation. I don't care what you call it. Here's what I do know. I know the Spirit of God comes inside of a man, changes him, and it bears fruit in his life. And if it didn't in you, then you're not saved, and you're lost in your sins, and you're going to die and go to a devil's hell for all of eternity. So repent and get born again. Have God's Spirit work inside of you, change you, and make you a new creature. It's not that difficult. It's real easy when Jesus does the work. Yes, he does. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 4. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. So wait a minute, I'm supposed to teach the young man discretion? Yeah. You know, sometimes you and I are surprised when our children blurt out stuff. Right? And they say things they shouldn't say. Oh, I can't believe they just said that. So what do you have to do? You have to teach them discretion. Son, we don't talk about those things in certain company. We don't say certain things to adults like that. We don't speak to adults this way. We don't act like this, or we don't mention these things, or we don't. What are you doing? You are teaching them discretion. They don't learn it on their own. They learn it because you teach them. That's not hard to understand, really. It's very simple. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. What is the book of Proverbs? It's the book of wisdom. What's the goal here? To teach wisdom and discretion. That's what he said in the beginning, to teach wisdom and discretion. Why? Because they don't know it. When you're a Christian, you learn to spiritually discern things, which is not just after a human sense, but after the Spirit of God. God's Spirit comes inside of you, and he teaches you as you go through his word, he teaches you to be able to spiritually discern things. That's what he teaches you. That's the work of the Spirit. That's the work of God. Now, you've got to add to your faith, and you've got to study his word, but he teaches you to spiritually discern some things, where something just smells rotten, and he's like, I don't want anything to do with that. That's bad. That's not right. My son, attend unto my wisdom, Proverbs 5:1, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. What's he saying? That you learn how to control your tongue, and you'll speak after wisdom and knowledge, and not say foolish things, or things that will get you into trouble, or things that lack discretion. So I have to teach them that. We bring them up that way, and Christians ought to understand these things as well. There's a dual application here. Because he goes on to say, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. You know, it's funny. Because most people go through their life thinking that God gave no directions. You want to know where your marriage counseling is? It's right here. Amen. It's a father and a mother teaching their daughter and their son about the strange woman, about discretion, about understanding, though she may speak sweetly with her lips, she is like a black widow and will destroy you and bring you to the depths of hell. Do you understand that the truth is right here and it's taught there? You know, I don't believe in this modern day marriage counseling that goes on. Where all these pastors, I remember one pastor, he's got a book like this big. And he brings in his book this big, and he's like, well, you got to take all these tests and do all these things to see if you're compatible and to see if you can do this. And somebody came to me and says, you know, do I really have to do this? I was like, well, I mean, I wouldn't do it. It looks kind of stupid. What was it full of? A bunch of site. Well, I can't use it, but a bunch of manure. A bunch of psychology. See if you're compatible, to see that, and you take these tests to see if your personality and this and that, and to test this and to test. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. That is, yeah, again, thank you. It's like a Hollywood emotion. See if you emotionally, you know what? If you know it's the will of God, and you understand that somebody's living for God, and your father and your mother, and they understand they're on the same page together, and they're following the scriptures, and they believe it. Now, I know there's sometimes when some kids have no, like their parents don't do anything with them. So then, either I watch them walk off of a cliff, or I try to help them. Unfortunately, I have to try to help them sometimes. I don't like to be in that role. I don't want to really do that because it's not really my place to do. It's your place. Train your own children. Raise your own children. Teach them to discern. It's not my job to teach that. It's yours. It's your job to prepare them. I'll preach the word of God. You teach them. You teach them discretion and discernment. You teach them how to spot the strange woman. You teach them those things. I'll preach it. You teach them. All this modern day garbage that goes on, when all it takes is some biblical discernment and discretion to be taught, and they could be able to judge rightly things. Says, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood. Man, you ever had wormwood? Oh, that stuff's bad. It is bitter. Oh, if you got any parasites, it'll kill them though. Oh, and you. Oh, it's bad. Oh no. Oh. I know what that means. Bitter as wormwood. Look at that though, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, ye children, depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Wait a minute. So you're saying that there's a way to be able to discern this type of a woman? And you and I are supposed to discern that type of woman or that type of man? Yeah, absolutely. You know, the problem is that people stop doing that. They stop judging things. Everybody that says they have the Christian label, we just go with it. Okay, they got it. So it's fine. And then they marry into somebody that turns out to be the worst thing in the whole world, and it ruins their life. Why? Because no discernment.
Right.
Just no discernment. No discretion. And we are taught to critically examine things. But we don't. I don't want to be judgmental. I do. I want to be. I do want to be. Because I've seen too much chaos and too many destroyed lives not to be. And then the guy that sits around with his abstract theory, he doesn't have to go clean up the mess. He gets to call a pastor and say, can you talk to these people? Their lives are ruined. They want to die. They don't want to live anymore. When all of it could have been avoided. Oh, you're being dramatic. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Believe me, I've answered the phone at 2:00 in the morning to people that want to die. I'm not being dramatic. I'm being real. I'm being very real. So I'm not making anything up. I'm giving you literal truth right there. Why? Because if somebody would have taken the time to discern some things, and got beyond some simple label and actually discerned whether somebody was a strange woman or a strange man or not, then none of that would have happened. And it could have been avoided. Let me tell you something, Dad. You better be extra critical with your daughter.
Amen.
You better verify. You better make them go through hoops. Yeah, the whole nine yards, everything. Amen. You better. You better discern, and you better use some discretion. You better teach them to be able to discern and use some discretion. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse number 23. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane. Well, that's not possible, is it? I thought we couldn't know the difference between that. Oh, you just can't know that! Ezekiel 44:23. Let me tell you something that's interesting about this. I had somebody tell me this week that they were defending Alice Cooper as being a Christian. Now, I'm not going to mention any names because I don't want to pick on anybody. Because my point is not to pick on it. My point is not to use names. My point, except Alice Cooper's. But my point is to deal with something that I see as a lack of discernment completely. Cannot discern. Okay. Now, I smoked a lot of dope when I was lost, okay? I'm not bragging about that. I'm just telling you I did. Okay? And even that high, you could have never convinced me that he was a Christian. Okay, do you understand me?
Right.
Tripping crazy out of my mind. You could never convince me that that man was a Christian. Do you understand me? I mean, I saw golden roosters, and you would never have convinced me. You would never have convinced me that that man was a Christian. Okay? In that state of my mind, you could not have convinced me that man was a Christian. Okay? I'm telling you, I've seen crazy things before. But I had a guy defend him and say, well, no, he's a Christian because he says this about Jesus. Well, I mean, do you understand anything about the occult? And do you know what it takes to make $1 million in rock music? Do you know what it takes to make that? Yeah, for decades to stay on top and to keep your vitality and your youth going to do that. Do you know what it takes? After all the hardcore drugs and the wicked things that you've done and how you can keep going. I mean, do you understand how what you have to do that? No, most people don't. They say, well, I know it's rock voodoo beats. Yeah, I understand you know that, but do you understand the spirit behind it? Do you understand the awful, wicked, disgusting, vile, devil spirit behind it? By the way, how many Christians go by a girl's name? Do you know the God of rock music, the androgynous being? Go look up a sermon that Joey Foster, he preached on the androgynous. I'm not backing everything Joey Foster says, but that is good. He talked about the androgynous. We did a radio show with him once, and he talked about the androgynous God of rock music. Why do you think these guys all have long hair? Why do they have long hair and wear makeup and act like chicks? Why? Because they're following their God. Just like you follow your God. How is that hard to understand? Oh, my. How can you not see the spirit behind that? How can you not? I mean, the dude goes by a girl's name. He says he got saved. He goes by a girl's name. He plays the same wicked music he always did. He just names Jesus' name behind it. Why? So he can drag a bunch of Christians to hell with him, or a bunch of professing Christian kids to hell with him. That's why. So he can get another market in there. See, there's heavy metal Christians for Christ. But when you say things, listen, I know you have no discernment when you tell me this. When you say, well, I'm not backing his music, I'm just saying that he's saved. No, you are back in his music. Don't you get it? You're saying that this is what Christians do. Christians follow Baphomet spirits, androgynous beings. They wear long hair. They wear makeup. They play rock music. Right. This is what they do. That's what you're saying. That nothing changes when they get saved. That's what you're saying. You're saying that the Spirit of God Almighty does not come in a man, does not change him, make it, well, how much change? Enough to where you don't follow Baphomet. I'll put it that way. Okay? Enough to where you dress like a man and stop acting like a girl. Enough to where you change your name from Alice to a real man's name. Enough to where you don't wear makeup anymore and want to look like a girl. Enough to where you don't stand on stage and play after rock and roll music the same spirit that you claim you got saved from. What's that called, folks? That's called discernment. That's called being able to discern the holy from the profane. But let me tell you why people can't do that. People that are in sin cannot discern good from evil. Every person I've ever seen defend this wicked lifestyle is caught up into some sin or compromised with it in their own personal life, and they cannot take a stand against sin. They don't have somebody accuse them, well, you're just always warring against it. You're right, I am. And by God's grace, till the day I die, I still will be. I'll spit my false teeth out when I'm 80 years old, and I'll scream at you to repent and point my bony finger at you and tell you that Alice Cooper was never saved. Amen. I'll do the same thing. Because boys dress like boys, and God teaches them that. Because boys understand that they're boys, especially when they get the Spirit of God inside them, they know they're boys. And they don't want to be girls. They want to be boys.
Amen.
And they don't want to confuse people. And they don't want to lead people to error. So Christians, they don't play around. They don't dress like heavy metal girls. Is that hard to understand? Is that like Greek or something? It seems like it's pretty straightforward English. Now, how damning is it for you to tell people that? Well, this comes from the same person that told me that his Buddhist friend is saved. Well, he was saved 10 years ago, and he lived for God for 10 years, and then he converted to Buddhism. Well, let me help you out with something. He was never saved. Yeah, it is sad, but he's going to hell, and you're helping him get there because you're telling him he's a Christian and he's following a false god. Shame on you. And you have no discernment. By the way, you have no business being in the ministry either with that kind of discernment. It's very dangerous. Could you imagine being a pastor and telling everybody, hey, I think Alice Cooper's saved? Oh, you just have different sins, so that's why you say that. If you had his sins, you wouldn't say that. Oh, that's what it is. Okay, yeah. You know, I forgot about that because, you know, I mean, dressing like a girl is without natural affection. It's against nature. It's a sin against nature. Transgenderism is a sin against nature. Christians don't commit sins against nature like that. Why? Because they have discernment. Because they have a new nature, right? Yeah. I'm so sick and tired of this foolish argument that I've seen from people. And by the way, it's everywhere because fundamentalism has pushed it. Well, what do they have to repent of? Everything God brings to your mind and heart when you're getting saved. That's what. Is that easy for you? And then after you're saved, it'll bear fruit in your life, and God will be weeding sin out for the rest of your life. That's not that. I mean, that right there is really easy. Are you saying everybody's going to be perfect? No, of course not. But everybody should want to be. You know, I have a real problem with people that brag about how they can sin and be saved, but never have a desire not to sin. Shouldn't we be preaching that we should try not to sin, that we should do whatever we can not to sin, that we should go as long as we can without sinning? Is there sin in saying that? I'm just curious. Is that sinful to say that you and I should live our lives as much as we can without sinning? Shouldn't that be our goal? Or should we live our lives accepting sin into our lives and making excuses for it? It's ridiculous. Malachi 3:18, then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You're trying to tell me that a guy that supposedly got saved 30 years ago, and his pastor told him, well, rock and roll is okay, just go back and play rock and roll. Or heavy metal, or whatever Alice Cooper plays. So, But wouldn't God's Spirit tell you, you know, it's wrong to dress like a woman and call yourself a woman's name? I mean, wouldn't God's Spirit say something to you? I mean, wouldn't the Bible say that it's a shame for a man to have long hair? Wouldn't that be like a given? Yeah, it would be. And by the way, wouldn't you just leave that pastor and go to one that believes the Bible?
Amen.
If you're a child of God.
Amen.
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. You know, Brother Paul was talking today about, he's going to talk about a little bit later, probably about a letter that he got from some lady who wrote him a note. He gets notes when he preaches. Isn't that sweet? This note was telling them that, who do you think you are? By what authority do you do these things? And it was like, it's like the Pharisees wrote the note for her. I mean, literally. And who, by what authority do you say this and all these things? And you know, she's saying, God's love and the cross of Christ. Well, that's a universalist, because you don't have God's love unless you're born again. You can't have it. You're at enmity with God. But I told Brother Paul, I said, the only thing that she can hear is the only thing that God wants her to hear. And what you have to understand that too, is you go out and you preach the gospel, or if people hear messages, or you try to share, the only thing they can hear is, well, you're condemning me. You're condemning me. You're condemning me. You can preach Jesus saves, and they're going to say, you're condemning me. You're condemning me. You're judging me. You're judging me. You're right, I am. You're condemning me. Why? Because the law of God is preached to them. What happens? All they can hear is condemnation. Why do you think everyone, no matter how sweet you say something or nice you say, they're going to say, well, you're condemning me. Right? No matter how nice you've been to them, no matter how kind you've been to them, what's the only thing that they hear? You're condemning me. You're condemning all homosexuals. You're condemning all these. Why are they saying that to you? Because that's all God wants them to hear. Do you understand that? Because it's law to the proud and grace to the humble. So no matter what you say to them, no matter how you say it, that's all they can hear, because that's the only message the Holy Ghost of God is driving home to them. You are a condemned sinner.
Amen.
What does he reckon them? That every mouth may be stopped and that all the world may become guilty before God. So when you preach, what are they? Guilty. Why do you think that they're going to love you for it? Nobody likes a finger pointing at them that they're guilty, right? Nobody likes that. Nobody likes to be wrong unless God's Spirit is working on them, unless they're convicted of their sin. And then they'll say gladly, I'm condemned by the law, and I'll run to Christ for forgiveness. But they cannot receive that message. Why? For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You're banging your head. Why can't you get this? And that's one thing that I realize with some of these people in this argument. I don't believe some of these people that claim to be Christians are saved. You'll never convince me that men like Stephen Anderson are saved. Why? Because they don't understand a changed life. They don't get it. They don't know what it means to be brought from death into life. They don't get it. You can sit down with them and you can explain it to them, and all they will call is work salvation. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned and they can't understand it. They can't understand God taking a dead man, raising him from the dead, giving him life, and he's a new creature. Right? They can't receive it because they're spiritually discerned things and they can't understand them. They don't get it. For them, grace is a dead end. Grace to them is not teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, godly. No, grace just means that you don't go to hell. You can keep that if that's all grace is. Because it's not all it is. Grace is a teacher. And it teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this world. It's not a dead end, folks. But people with no discernment, they believe that. I like what Hebrews chapter 5 says. Turn there, please. Hebrews chapter 5. I really wish God's people would start discerning some things. They would start using some discretion and looking at things and making decisions based off of the scriptures and not after their own whims or their own emotions. You know, there are people that make decisions basically off whether it's going to upset somebody or not, whether they make that decision solely upon that. Fathers making decisions for their daughters based solely on whether they're going to be upset with them or not. Well, man, I got this to say to you. They can shout or pout. Amen. I feel the same way about you. If I preach what God wants me to preach, you can shout or pout. I get paid the same either way. It don't matter to me. Some people don't like that, though, do they? I never once looked at you and seen any look or bad look and made me want to change my mind about what God has told me to preach. In fact, if you gave me a bad look or a scrunched up face, it's like saying, sick 'em. That's what it's like saying to me. It's like saying, keep going! Huh? When you give me that crunchy Nate face. That's right. I don't like that. When you don't like it, that means I probably need to push it more. When you're out on the street and you're preaching and somebody's getting mad, it means you need to stay in the same vein. Doesn't mean you need to switch up and make them happy. No, you need to keep preaching it because God's working on them. And when I see people that get upset or they buck or they fight something, I know it needs to be preached because it's bothering them. And God's trying to deal with them. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. Look at this. Their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. People that have been in God's Word, that understand what His Word says, that have followed those principles and they get them, guess what? They have their exercises discerned, their senses discerned. Something's not right with this. You know, if we seen more things black and white instead of gray areas, we'd have so many problems. The problem is that so many people are compromised that they want to come out in a gray area with something because their own life is compromised with it. They have not kept their lives simple. They have not said, this is evil, this is righteous. This we'll stay away from, this we will do. When you don't do that, guess what? You can't come out against anything. Let me give an example. I rarely ever preached about Hollywood until I shunned it. You know what my line was or what my line was with my family? Oh, well, what we watch is nobody else's business. So we don't want to talk about that to anybody else. What are you laughing at? Some of you did the same thing. We just won't tell anybody we're watching. This is personal preference. I had somebody tell me that all the way through. So basically what you're saying is some evil is okay, but others is not. So, I mean, I don't want to tell anybody really what I'm watching because they'll judge me. Right? So we won't tell anybody what we're watching. I think you may maybe better just burn all them Hollywood movies. You know why? Because there's nothing good in them. You bring them to me and you show me the good in them and explain it to me. We'll sit down and we'll talk about it. But see how easy it is and how much power God gives once you do that? Once I took all those movies first, before you did, and loaded them up in trash bags and said, this is my repentance. I had a change of mind, and guess what it led to? Nothing. Didn't lead to nothing. Didn't lead to nothing. I said, well, those are bad, but I'm going to keep them anyway. Because, you know, after all, I changed my mind. Wait a minute, how did you change your mind and your action didn't follow? Because fundamentalists told me that's what repentance was. They said that you just change your mind, but you just keep doing the same thing. What a joke. Nobody believes that, really. In practical theory, nobody can believe that. Practical application, nobody can believe that. So what happened? Took all those bags of garbage, or they were garbage, and took those movies and what? Boom, put them away. We got ready to shoot them at Brother Andrew's house. We didn't shoot Brother Andrew's house, we shot the movies. I did shoot Lee's car, though. But anyway, that's another story. But it wasn't because he had Hollywood movies in there, it's just because, you know, it's his fault. He put his car in the wrong place. But anyway, really, it was his fault. He didn't put it in the wrong place. Anyway, that's another story for another time. My point is what? My point, I don't know what my point is. I forgot it. But anyway, the point that I shot Lee's car. He's still in the church. Can you believe that? Most times he shot somebody's car, they would leave the church probably. they'd really be like, I'm leaving. I mean, really, you'd think that they would just like be gone. So yeah, what is wrong with him? But he didn't. He stayed. It's been like 3 years. So I don't know. Maybe he's just waiting to get revenge. He got it yesterday when we were blowing insulation of that house. Anyway, that's another story. No, not blowing up the house, putting insulation in the house. I got to clarify everything because I'll get a bunch of emails from people thinking that we're crazier than what we really are. Anyway, you're too hypercritical. A big load of those movies, threw them away. What happened? I could preach on it then. And do you know why I didn't have to hold anything back? I had liberty, right? Because there's liberty in obedience to Christ. That's where the true liberty is. When you're a slave to sin, you're enslaved by it, and you have no liberty. They promise you liberty, but it's nothing more than a cloak of maliciousness. It's nothing more than bondage. So what happened? When we were able to throw those away, we could discern. Now, check this out. Since that, my discernment has been better. It sharpens your discernment. Well, to exercise both good and evil, right? Okay. Thank you. Cut. No, just kidding. Cut. The recording. Cut this off. Anyway. You can edit this, right? Oops. There, now do you feel better, Brother Aaron? Anyway. Yeah, but you can discern then, right? You can see, and you're able to look at things now, and God opens your understanding up. When we did that, when God, this ministry grew, by the way, but also my discernment grew, God showed me more from His Word. He showed me that spiritual war that has been raging for a long time, but He brought it to my attention and my understanding, and I was able to understand more of that war. Why? Because you put away the strange things, you put away the wicked things, and you're free from it. You can exercise those senses to discern both good and evil. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Wait a minute! You can't tell the difference between light and dark. I'm sorry. You can't discern that, right? How can you know who's a believer and an unbeliever? You can't discern that, right? So you can't know. Everybody can just say they're a believer and they're just a believer. So somebody can come in and just say they're a believer and they're a believer. You just let everybody join your church because they say they're a believer, right? Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Of course it doesn't. That's why God said you can judge between what he said, be ye not unequally yoked together. Would he have given you a command if you could not have, if you couldn't have the discernment to figure that out? No, he listed it and he explained in your word what a believer is and what a believer is not. What a disciple of Christ and what is and what one isn't. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Have the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. Wait, no, we can't, because there's no difference. So how can we come out from among them when we can't discern that there's any difference? So we all just stay together, right? Because we can't discern whether guys like Alice Cooper are saved or not. So we just all count them as brothers, and we can't come out from among them, because there's no way to discern that. It's a foolish, shallow understanding of the Scriptures. It's ridiculous. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Here's another one for discernment for you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. Well, you mean you did walk according? So there's a way that we can tell that, because when you were lost, you walked according to the course of this world, and saved people, they don't walk according to the course of this world. If they do, God takes a rod out, smacks them, and pulls them back in. You don't believe that? Yeah, exactly. If you don't believe that, you've never been born again. Because you understand when you get online with God, he takes that rod of correction out. Oh, you thought you could get out of God's hand and you could, well, I could forfeit it and I could walk away. Yeah, okay. So the next time your son wants to do evil, like imagine my son, come here, Lucius. Imagine my son coming up to me and him saying, well, Dad, I've decided you're not my dad anymore, so I'm going to go get drunk and party. Because I forfeited you as my father. So you're no longer my father. So I'm going to do what I want. Would that work? Would that work, son?
No.
Go ahead, son. That wouldn't work, would it? Why? Why couldn't he? I mean, but listen, he forfeited. He said, no, that doesn't work that way. God's like, well, God, I'm sorry. You can't correct me or then because I forfeited it. Really? Really, your son's going to tell you that? Brother Paul, could your son tell you that? Well, no, Dad, I've forfeited you being my father. I'm walking away from you, and I'm going to do what I want to do, and there won't be anything you can do about it. Right. Doesn't work, does it? It says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There's a different spirit there that works in them. This spirit works in you. They're on this course. You're on this course. That's not hard to understand. What's sad to me is, why don't people want to just call a spade a spade? Why do we have to play games? Do you think you're helping people by going, I know you're committing adultery, living in fornication, and living wicked, and practicing witchcraft, and calling up demons and everything, but listen, God loves you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. Really? Do you think that's helping that person? Do you think that person's going to be like, oh, I need to go do right? No. You look at that person and tell them, you know what? If you are saved, you'd repent of this wickedness and you'd live for God. Right now, you don't show any fruits of being a born-again Christian. You show fruits of being of the devil, your father, and the lust of your father you will do. Now, what would that do? Well, if he's a Christian, you could discourage him. He could go off and cry in the corner. I hope he does! But my gut feeling is he's going to have a sorrow of this world that worketh death. Because a child of God responds to the word of God. They're chastened until they do. Because that's how God deals with his sons. Or then are you bastards and not sons? We got a lot of spiritual bastards out there. Because preachers don't preach it straight anymore. They give people an excuse to sin and live in wickedness. And they comfort them in their wickedness instead of calling them to repentance and say, listen, Is Christ in you? Know ye not, lest ye be reprobates? Examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Know your own selves, lest ye be reprobate. We don't want to do that, though. That would involve discerning something. That would involve using some discernment and some understanding. Listen, there are some things that God said we're to discern. Number one, he said to discern good from evil. Number two, he said to discern believers and unbelievers. Now, if we can't do that, we're in a lot of trouble. Number three, he said we should be able to discern sound doctrine. We should be able to take that book and discern sound doctrine and know what is truth and what is error. We should be able to discern from the holy from the profane. We should be able to discern that. But you know what that involves? Knowing the Word of God and actually believing you're supposed to live it out in your life. Not just looking at this book as an old ancient book of theories and kind of a great way to live if you can hack it. Because that's how people live their Christian. Well, it's great to get me to heaven, but from here to heaven, I mean, there's not much for me in it. You laugh, but that's exactly how people treat this Bible. They think that everything's about them going to heaven in this Bible. I want you to do a word search about heaven where God dwells and about sin, condemnation, damnation, repentance, the life that we live here. Do a comparison of how many times it's mentioned that you're going to heaven as opposed to you living a life here on earth for Christ. Just see what the instructions tell you. You know what you're going to find? It's not about you living in paradise. That's a reward for Christ's sufferings. It's about Christ making you holy, conforming you to the image of his Son. That's right. It's not about you getting a free ticket to Disney World. It's just not about that. That's what it's been turned into, though. That's what it's all about. That's what everything's about now. But you don't want to go to that nasty old hell, do you? Right? It's sad. You better start, you as Christians better discern things. You better use discretion. You better judge matters and you better discern. You better teach your children to discern things. By the way, let me say this in closing. I was going to preach and I still might. Good discernment would be not to give your children access to the internet unsupervised. That would be real, using good discernment. Right? Free access with no control. Nobody knows what you're doing. Or secret access. I put it that way. It's not a good idea. You trust flesh way too much. I don't trust my own. Do you? No, you have to put it under subjection to Christ, don't you? There's a 12-year-old boy that wrote somebody on Facebook, and he wrote him and he said that he's 12 years old and he's hooked on pornography. His father's a pastor, an independent fundamental Baptist pastor. 12 years old. Why? Because his father's not watching him. Or his mother's not watching him. You've got to teach kids discernment. You can teach them with the internet. You can teach them things. Amen. You got to teach them. You got to teach them. You can't just say, stay away from that. Don't use it. Like some preachers try to say. There's still preachers preaching against, oh, you shouldn't go on Facebook at all and use it. I get the point. Okay, I do. I get the point. If you're going to use it for evil, don't use anything. You know what I mean? But you still got to teach. You got to sit down and teach your kids discretion and discernment. You got to sit there with them and teach them how to use the internet, how to go online, what's right to do, what's wrong to do, what to stay away from, what not to. Amen? You got to teach them. You got to monitor them, and you got to watch them, and you teach them discretion. I'm not saying, well, don't ever let them go on the internet at all. That's foolish. We know what world we're living in. That's going to be impossible. It's just going to be impossible. But you have to teach them discretion. And just, how do you teach them that? You don't teach them by staying away from everything and living in a room by yourself and just chanting all day like some Roman Catholic monk or something. No, you teach them by teaching them to wade through this world. You teach them how we teach them when we go out preaching, Brother Paul. They see what a strange woman is. Right? They know what's right and wrong. They because we teach them. And they hear it through preaching. But you also teach them through application. Parents not monitoring their children, that's not using any discretion or discernment. Amen. Use them. I mean, handing the kid this and being like, here. Okay? This has unlimited access to the internet. I mean, you can get anything you want and see anything you want. Have fun, kid.
The world at your fingertips.
Have fun, kid. It won't be too bad for you. See you later. Give me that back. That's expensive. It's an iPhone. You can't handle that much power. I did get a good deal on that. That's right. I got it for next to nothing. What's the point? My point is that if you hand them this and you just feel like, here you go, you're not using any discretion or discernment. How can you teach it to them if you're not using it? You don't do that with a child. Here, take this off by yourself, drive down the road in a car, and hang out with your buddies with this. Yeah, I wouldn't even do it with an adult. That's right. That's insanity. And they wonder why their kids get hooked on pornography. And your dad's a pastor? What is he teaching? Right? What is he teaching then? See, anybody could, yeah, anybody can, but where's mom at? Why isn't she monitoring what's going on? What is she doing? Where's everybody at? Where is everybody that a child would have that? What discernment is that? Well, nothing evil will happen. Oh, no, something evil is always going to happen. And you've got to always think that the devil is looking for a way to get a foothold in your door. Because he is. He wants in this ministry. He wants in your home. He wants in your marriage. He loves defiling holy ground. He loves it. Don't give him a place. Use discretion. Use discernment. Amen? Think about it. Father, thank you, Lord, for your words. Thank you for the truth of them. Father, help us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.